you, don't you worry. If you were in a hurry, buy McCurry and Claypool. Curry and Claypool, no matter how your day go, they got a fresh new show today. It's Curry and Claypool. Whether you up north of Gardendale or down south past Vestavia, turn up your sound and listen well, cause we got something to say to you. Curry and Claypool, they in the know, their topics cover A to Z. So whether you drive fast or slow, just sit on back and feel the beat.
Oh no!
It's Curry and Claypool!
Hey! Curry and Claypool, I told you I'd be a cowboy today, right? Like it? Pull that off. Me, it looks like shit. Looks good. I look like I ride a bull. It's what I rode. And gym shoes with spurs. I wore gym shoes. I had gym shoes with spurs on when I rode a bull. Well, it's a good thing because this shirt was fixed up. I got a Goodwill because I hadn't worn it in years. You know where I got this hat from?
No, I don't.
Ropers.
Where?
Ropers.
What's that?
Anybody, you guys in the bar business remembers Ropers. He was right next to Bell Bottoms down in Hoover. Yeah. Now it's some pool shooting place. Ropers.
Yeah.
I hate hats.
Yeah.
This is very uncomfortable. This is my stilettos. This is for you ladies out there that bitch and moan about wearing
Take
stilettos.
It's the reading glasses, I think, that's killing me. I think, oh, okay, that's better.
Is that better?
Yeah.
I look like Ty Herndon? Look like I could saddle up and ride out of there? No? And the shirt's incredibly
The shirt, that you know, the hat's got a little, just a slight Lynyrd Skynyrd feel. just a little bit, don't you think?
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
I guess it's like, yeah.
No.
It's like a Southern Rock. It's 38 special.
It's really loud. Listen, it's really loud.
Yeah, it really is. What's it made out of?
It's like, well, it's you're supposed to, it's rugged.
Yeah.
You're supposed to get your ass kicked in it, and you're okay. I mean, it's got, like, stuffing in it, and I mean, you could fall on it, and it's supposed to protect you. It's,
you know, you could,
I think it could repel bullets.
I think, you know,
or arrows.
So, I definitely don't think it's a fashion sort of thing,
yeah.
But I do think that, like, when you're out cutting wood, raking your leaves,
yeah,
like, I think you could pull it off raking your leaves.
Why would I wear this raking? My
I don't
leaves?
Know, like, using a chain. Oh, by the way, I did not, I forgot to send you know, how I send you all kinds of like video shit,
yeah,
8-point. 8-point buck in the backyard.
Oh yeah.
I always think, you know, I don't hunt.
Yeah.
I like to fish because I have
it more. Was it a big rack or a little rack? Just big racks, little racks, you know. How
like this.
Yeah, they measure them by points, but they also measure them by width.
I guess it's this far outside of his head. You know, I don't hunt, but fishing I do because fishing the playing field's fair.
Yeah.
But I always think about all the people I know who hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they go out and they sit in the chair for like 3 days.
Yeah, or sit in a tree.
In the chair, and they get nothing. You know, oh, we saw a couple. And I always think the same thing. I'm like, okay, there was 15 in my backyard every day.
Yeah.
And today was an 8-point buck.
But you can't hunt your
backyard.
But
you know, I kind of felt like the hunter, except with my camera.
Yeah, there you go. You shoot the good picture. Did you take a picture?
I got the video. I forgot to send it to you.
You going
to
be on Instagram later today?
No. Mm. No. Because it was one of those things where...
No, you should do...
Is grainy.
Dr. Josh's 8 points of life.
Oh, that's good. See, you're good. You know, I might hire you as like my,
yeah,
one of my writers.
Yeah.
It was good. I mean, it was.
Or life is a racket.
You know, I think you got a career, another career.
I was a copywriter.
Were you?
Yeah, life,
were you
real? Life is a racket. Yeah. Well, we all had to write our own copy when they started.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. So anyway, I was excited. I mean, it was one of those things.
Or wish your wife had a rack like this.
No, that's
no, no. You probably don't.
It's one of those things where, look, if you grew up in suburbia, in the suburbs, in like I did, mm-hmm, you never saw anything except crows and lizards and maybe a rattlesnake.
Yep,
and maybe for a rattlesnake. Like, you know, occasionally. And so for as long as I lived here, the fact that there's like a mammal in my backyard,
yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and Jules is really funny. She's like, we've lived in this house for 23 years. You see deer every single morning. And every single morning, like, your reaction is exactly the same. Oh.
Your wife blows you up. Everyone loves seeing deer. Even hunters love seeing deer.
Well, she doesn't dislike it. She's like, I think what she says is, she's like, your level of excitement has never planed or plateaued.
Well, it shouldn't. Don't, we always, what do we say looking at deer is like?
The boobs.
Boobs. It's the same thing. We could see 1,000,000,000 pairs of them, but whenever you see one, you're like, ooh,
shoot,
it's exciting.
They get excited about the baby deer. Yeah. You get excited with the little, like the bambi with the dots.
Yeah, with the little dapples on them, yeah.
Dude, this buck, I was like, and you know the difference? He didn't run.
No.
The other ones run.
Well, there were other ones. You just didn't see them because they don't always
No, there was a group. The rest of them sort of scrambled somewhat, although they're pretty domesticated. I mean, they eat all my plants. They come up to the fence.
Yeah.
But the rest of them kind of moved. He just, like, and then what's it called? He rutted?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, F you, dude.
Well, maybe, I don't know if it's time for them to. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen, have you ever seen that?
I have.
I know you've seen porcupines.
Yeah.
Have you seen?
Oh, yeah.
Deer mate?
Oh, yeah.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right in our backyard. We got that whole farmland there.
And you've seen them?
Oh, yeah. They.
Is it pretty violent?
Not really.
Not any more than any other animal?
It takes about as long as I do. Yeah, it's not. It's a quick. And then they just start eating again.
Well, and I guess because there's no danger in the, because the rack is out of the way.
No, but I think in most cases, I know this holds true for turkeys, and we're not hunters, so we don't know what we're talking about. Maybe we need to get someone from Mark's Outdoors or something on. But if you look through the history of hunting, we shoot animals when they're horny.
Why do we do that?
Because they're out of their minds.
Because they come out. Yeah, right.
That's why guys are stupid.
When
guys
insight.
Get horny, we do stupid things. We get in fights. We do things we're not supposed to do.
Right. That
we
makes
get
a
uncomfortable.
Lot of sense.
We're insecure. And so turkeys, mating season is when turkey season is. And so you call them out, you give them a female turkey sound, right. And they come out and they're all excited, and then you shoot their ass. And I think that's what happens in deer. It's always during mating season.
We always
kill things when they're trying to mate.
It totally makes sense.
Because they're out of their flipping minds. The lizard brain comes out in the deer head, and next thing you know, it's like I'm looking around. And you know,
that's what he was doing.
And they're willing to take more chances because they have to continue to
it's procreate. Much more risky.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a monster show for you today here in the Curry and Claypo show. It's on from 7:30 to 9:30. You're watching us here on the Tony Curry radio page. If you want to watch us, I don't know why, you can see my cowboy shirt. It actually, I'm starting to warm up a little bit to it. It's pretty comfortable. It's really loud, though. Yeah, I can pull this off.
Don't do it. It's bad for
you. I'm not wearing the hat, though. I just don't look good. The hats are just,
I think it's 38 special. Maybe it's not Leonard Skinner.
Yeah, and I have to push it down pretty hard because I got a pretty big head. It doesn't fit like it used to. My head is getting bigger. I'm turning in that big head, dude. You can watch us on the Tony Curry Facebook page, and of course listen to us here on Tony Curry. By the way, I was on Austin Hanks' Blues Almighty last night. Let me tell you something. Now, I know it's on my radio program. It's on my radio app, and so I'm going to love it. It was incredible. He played Jason the Scorchers. He played Driving and Crying. He played some Slick Lily. He played this band called, I didn't even know, like, three of the songs on it. And normally he's like, are you sure I can play whatever I want? I said, dude, Austin, it's your show. Right. He's had Matt Sorum on from Guns N' Roses. He's got Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick on next week. He's had Billy Gibbons on from ZZ Top. He's had Blackberry Smoke on. And then I'm a guest. And I'm like, that sticks out. But I was honored to be on Blues Almighty last night. You can only hear the show on the Tony Curry radio app. And listen, I listen to the station like 20 hours a day. And so I was 8 o'clock last night, fired it off, and man, it was just the best word I could say is it was nasty. I was going back and forth with him, and I said, dude, this show is unbelievable. The music he picks, last night he did all Southern blues classic rock bands, right? So he played some Black Crows, and he did some Brother Kane. Was in there, Jason the Scorchers, Driving and Crying, and he did stuff from Billy's Big Bad Blues Band, which he's in, and then he played the song called Caroline from Slick Lily, which I totally forgot about. That is just unbelievable rocket song. It's unbelievable. And I'm sitting there going, dude, I said every song. I said I'm not blowing smoke. I said this show is so nasty good. It was so, and it just rocked, man. It was killer. It was killer. We're gonna replay that.
Just replay it. We're gonna replay it right now.
No, but I mean, I would. Blues Almighty replays Mondays at noon. And we're getting about 5 or 6 of these shows in, and once we get to about 10, we're going to archive them. We're going to start putting them out on podcast stuff, so you'll be able to listen to them on demand. I'm telling right now, I want you to come listen to Tony Curry Radio because we got a lot to offer here. Dude, I mean, and I'm on there. We talked about my Chuck Berry story, my Bo Diddley story. We talked about City Stages, which really took me back. I had goosebumps to it, but I was like, dude, this show is killer. Now we got another killer show later on tonight with the Damon Johnson show at 8 o'clock. That is, I'm just telling you, man. If you don't have to be a classic rock fan.
No,
you weren't a Damon Johnson. You knew who Damon Johnson was before you got here. He's just incredible. Listen to his stories are great.
Yeah, I mean, he could have fantastic. By the way, on Baywatch, they've got boom boxes.
There you go.
We got boom boxes and bikinis.
Boom boxes. Yeah. No, it's fantastic.
That's fantastic.
You missed it last night. It was. I was so proud of it. I was sitting there listening to it. I was like, I cannot believe the show is on Tony Curry Radio. It's incredible. If you listen for any other reason, Curry and Clint, whatever, listen to the Blues Almighty Show or Damon Johnson on Friday night. We also have, of course, Adapter Parish with Dr. Alex Hubline. I know you're going to be recording a bunch of shows today, mm-hmm. Dark Side of the Pooch and the Live Wire Wednesday show on the Wednesday. But, God, it was so flipping good. It was great. Today, do you live in a cheating town? Ashley Madison? Perfect, because
yeah.
they are oh, for cheaters.
Oh, that's perfect.
I think their moniker is, we are for cheaters. If you're an Ashley Madison client, you're married, and you want to cheat. Some people know it. Some people don't. Majority don't. So they took their entire database and they found out which cities cheat the most.
That's really good. I'm surprised they haven't done that a long time ago.
No, it was really interesting. Is which city right off the bat would you think is the biggest cheating town?
It's got to be like, I feel like it's a smaller town. It's not. It's a big city.
The first thing you think of is Las Vegas because everyone goes to Las Vegas. But Las Vegas was fourth.
So
you'll be surprised.
It's not like LA, New York.
You'll be surprised who the top three are. I was kind of like,
okay.
And this is
like
based
on Missouri City or like, I feel like it would be some obscure place.
No.
Utah.
Uh-uh.
Utah.
Yeah, Utah.
Is Utah?
Birmingham. Is Birmingham in there?
Oh, Birmingham. We're always in there for something.
We'll talk about that. Woman arrested yesterday for breastfeeding her cat. Ooh. On a Delta flight.
Oh.
Yeah, this is a story I want to get into. This is fantastic. She was breastfeeding her hairless cat on a Delta flight. They were going to arrest her because she wouldn't stop. The cat was going crazy like it didn't want to do it, which was the weird part. Because if it was some weird pet fetish thing where the cat's used to latching on, and I'm like, okay, this is really, really weird. It's a bizarre story. So we'll talk about that coming up in just a few minutes right here. Brian Kelly came out before the LSU basketball game. And it got blown up because he now sounds like a coon ass. Brian Kelly sounds like, he's a Bostonian. He's from Boston.
He developed a Cajun accent in one day?
In one
Did
day.
He really?
And he didn't know he was doing it.
Oh, really? Really?
No, he wasn't trying to mock them he wasn't trying to sound like them. He just was one of them. And of course, the media went crazy, hammered on him. And I am totally cool with this. And we'll talk about something. We've talked about it on the show. When you get around another group of people that you're trying to impress, you start to emulate them subconsciously.
But that quickly. Did it sound? I didn't hear it. Was it pretty bad?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, or not pretty bad,
it's
pretty
not,
prominent?
It's not him. It's
Yeah, because.
Yeah.
What are you.
It was great.
Brian Kelly.
I also have a bride story that is really, really interesting. You think that you have cold feet. It's a great story that I found. About a bride and her magical day in sickness and in health, no doubt. We'll get into that story. Also, we talked about this yesterday, with the pandemic starting to rear its head again, the variant and all this other garbage, stats and information research are starting to come about how we have dealt with the pandemic over the last 2 years, and we have found out the drunkest countries. It's pretty extensive research, and I will tell you the United States was third.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And what's really crazy about this is based on, they did 35 different countries over the course of 55,000 people. So it's pretty good research sample. They found out that women are drinking a lot more than men.
Yeah. Because that makes sense. Because they got to stay home with their,
husband. No, I mean, do you think, guys can hold their liquor more because we're bigger size, we have more muscle mass.
You know how many women are at home drinking bottles of wine?
It's kind of scary. I was kind of like, wow, and it's not even close. Women are getting after it.
It's not surprising.
Yeah. Kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. Do want to welcome, of course, all of our great partnerships and clients. The club at Lakeview is one of my favorite places, Chris Creek. As a matter of fact, I reached out to him last night. I have not heard back, but reached out last night. Golf Swim, Eat, Repeat. Golf Swim, Eat, Repeat. He is fantastic. If you go to the club at Lakeview, their Facebook page, you can check out everything they do. They went private just about a year ago. They've got great membership. It's a great community-based place. We've had him on the air, and he's always welcome to come on our radio program anytime he wants. I've done parties up there. They do charity events. They have golf tournaments. They had their first night golf tournament a couple weeks ago. The club at Lakeview, which is fantastic. We love them, and they're big proponents of what we do here at Tony Curry Radio. Golf Swim, Eat, Repeat, go to theclubatlakeview.com, theclubatlakeview.com, or the club at Lakeview on their Facebook page and their membership. If you don't ever believe you can be part of a private club, you can at the club at Lakeview. It's about 20 minutes outside Birmingham and McCalla. It's beautiful. It's God's country. Check out the club at Lakeview. So check them out. The news of Las Vegas being ranked in one of the top cities where people cheat on a spouse might not surprise you at all. But the fact that Ashley Madison is now taking this poll. It published a list of wintertime infidelity towns using its own data for more than 70 million users.
That's crazy.
When we did the
that's crazy.
When we did the opening drive with Alan Jay, we had the, and this is just when it started, so it was about 15 years ago, 10 years ago, we had the guy who started Ashley Madison on our radio program, and to hear Jay and this guy go back and forth.
Is it uncomfortable?
It was incredibly uncomfortable, but, you know, Jay was... like, this is wrong, and
right.
So we never really got past to why we're doing this and everything else. But
that's okay.
So here's your list based on the 70 million people.
That's
crazy that 70 million people.
That's like, it doesn't even matter where it is.
Ashley Madison. The website has widely been criticized ever since it launched in 2002. The CEO of the competing date site once said that Ashley Madison was a business bill on the back of broken hearts, ruined marriages, and damaged families.
Yes.
And it is. Their all idea is the same thing that we talked about yesterday with New York, allowing you to bring your own drugs in. You're going to do it anyway, so we might as well be a service to you.
Yeah.
And it's really, really sad, but
it's really
the world we live in.
Go ahead. What's sad about it is not that they created the site, because you think about, like, sort of free market, right? If it wasn't needed or wasn't valued, then they would make the site and nothing would happen. To me, what's more sad is that they put it up there and 70 million people.
70 million people.
Are there
70 million people in this country that are married?
And listen, those are numbers. Those are probably aggregate numbers. They're probably not 70 million unique users.
No. But no, it's probably 35.
Even if it's 10.
It's about half that.
Even if it's 10 million.
The fact that 70 million times people have cheated on their wives or their husbands is like... crazy to me. So here's the list from 20 to number one. Reno, Tucson, Baton Rouge.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations to Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
Colorado Springs,
mm-hmm.
Anchorage, Alaska.
See, that's where I was going. Okay, go ahead.
Cleveland's number 15, Denver 14, Pittsburgh 13, Spokane, Washington.
So we got some West, Mountain West stuff going on.
Buffalo, New York.
Cold.
Top 10 is Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, okay.
Minneapolis, number 9.
It's cold.
People up in Minneapolis, they're less healthy than we are down here in the South.
Really?
Well, yeah, they don't have as long to play outside because it's always kind of cold up there, and so they're just kind of fat, and they eat a lot of sausage, a lot of brats, and so they probably want to get laid. St. Paul, Minneapolis, is number 8. Boise, Idaho.
There you go. Okay, now listen, you got the West representing strong.
Yeah.
Got Colorado. Did you say Idaho, Colorado? Go, keep going.
St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
There's a reason why it's the gateway to the West. It's the gateway to a lot of things. Cincinnati, Ohio, my hometown.
There you go.
Is number 5. I don't know why, and I don't know, they didn't say why these are the way they are, they're just based off, and it's true. I mean, it's science, it's usage, so you know where it's coming from. And these aren't people that are Googling it, these are people that are using the Ashley Madison site. Las Vegas was number 4.
Okay.
I think that was a real surprise that it wasn't number 1. Atlanta, Georgia, number 3.
Yeah, these are really weird because they're not... obscure, it doesn't surprise me But I couldn't explain to you, like, why yeah. Atlanta, Georgia.
Miami, Florida.
See, but, like, that one kind of, don't you think?
Yeah, but I would think in Miami, Florida, it'd be pretty easy to get it if you wanted it. So why would you have to use an Ashley Madison service?
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
I mean, Miami, dude, I had an opportunity to move to Miami 10, 11 years ago, and I had kids. I'm like, I ain't raising my children down here. First of all, I was still getting after it and having a good time, and I was like, this is not going to be good. Mm-hmm. This is not the place I need to be bringing a two-year-old to raise my family. I just, you know.
So Miami makes sense. So is number one L.A. or New York?
Orlando. Orlando, and that's the one that's so like.
That's a oh, it's the
because Disney the World. Average age in Orlando is like 117.
That's the Disney World thing. Oh, but those are just visitors. No. You go to Disney World.
Seriously, I don't know what the media.
Right?
Orlando is a great city.
Yeah.
Great tourism, great yeah. rides, restaurants. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's a great place where, but it's a lot of people go down there to retire. I don't know what the median age of Orlando.
Come and go, right? It's visitors, yeah. tourists.
There's SeaWorld down there. But why is Orlando, and they say it wasn't really close, why are there more users of Ashley Madison in Orlando than anywhere else in the country? That's weird to me. I get Las Vegas. I understand Miami, but still, if you're going to Miami, and Las Vegas to an extent too, because if you're in Las Vegas, you can find it in Las Vegas. You don't need to use Ashley Madison.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Wonder what the average number of times somebody. Oh, there's so many questions I have around.
Go, start talking.
No, we don't know the answers. Average number of times somebody engages with Ashley Madison. Like,
before they pull the trigger or just.
No, once they pull the trigger. Like, you know, is it like. Do they do it like 10 different times? Is it one time?
I would like to know that if, say there was 35 million unique users yeah. out of the 70 million, I would like to know how many of those have spouses that know that they're on it.
Yeah. Just I know you're going to cheat on me, so you might as well. Okay, no, this makes sense. You can't, there's not, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It's controlled prostitution. Now they don't sit there and say that it's prostitution, but they're that's what it is.
Ashley Madison is, it's cheating. It's cheating, but it's not by definition for sex.
Okay, all right.
No, but it's not.
You're not getting on Ashley Madison to have a relationship with somebody. You're getting on there to have sex.
Oh, you're going to no.
You're getting on there to be intimate.
It's a dating app for people who are cheating.
Yeah, and if you're cheating,
but you see what I mean?
Yeah, and if you're cheating, and we
you're looking
say,
for you're looking for validation.
Yeah.
You're looking for attention. We've done a gazillion shows on this.
And you can get technical all you want, but if you're looking for attention, then you're willing to go all the way. And if you can get the opportunity,
I wonder how many users. Now, here's the other question.
Don't try to feed the shit.
No, but here's another question.
You're getting on Ashley Madison to have an emotional relationship.
Stop. Here's another one. You have 70 million users. Let's cut it in half in 35. Okay. Yeah. I wonder how many people of the 35 million who go on and sign up actually connect with somebody. Versus what I mean by that is, you talk about Googling it, that's different. Versus checking it out. In other words, you're thinking about cheating.
Yeah.
Right? So the first thing you do, if you think about the steps of it, first you might Google, you wouldn't, everybody knows, but you Google Ashley Madison. Then the second would be you're at the website, and you're there. But you're not doing anything. You're just looking at it. And then the next step would be whatever. You sign up. You sign in. You somehow engage. But that by definition doesn't guarantee that you actually connect with somebody.
No, but they help you.
No, yep. I know. Yep. So I do wonder. It'd be really interesting to know what percentage of people who go into the site and engage actually follow through.
Yep.
Because this is so interesting.
They're gonna do whatever it takes to find the mate for you.
No, think about the person. Think about the person who's they want to cheat or they feel they're in a position where they're in a bad relationship or whatever it is, and they're there, okay. But there's some hesitation. There's some but the site itself starts creating some second guessing.
Because there's a premeditation there. This is not like going to a bar, getting drunk, and finding somebody.
That's exactly.
You have to go through a.
So that's what I mean. So there's so many steps where you could, where it actually could repel you away from it.
Sure.
Right? So I do wonder what percentage of people go in, connect in there, and then actually connect with somebody versus get in there and then go, oh, shit. Like,
well, and I would say definitely use the computers at work, too.
Well, no, I know, but that's...
Because, I mean, if you asked me to Google, I could do it now because I'm single, but I could never... I had, when we did it at work, I had to do it at work, because if I got on my personal computer and down and even got there, and somehow, because there's cookies and all these things that follow right. you, I don't want that crap coming up.
Why do they call them cookies, by the way?
I don't know, because they're crumbles. They leave crumbles behind.
But it sounds so innocent.
Yeah.
You know, they're not like little...
And they pretty much just cut to the chase right now. They're like, we're throwing cookies at you. Do you accept, or you can't see our site?
Right.
So it's like, okay.
But you can see it, just can't see it as well. I've tried it.
Yeah.
It just gets all bad.
Yeah.
We have cookies.
Yeah, I know we do.
You got cookies? I got my cookies.
You cannot have cookies.
Yeah, well, and you have to ask them if you're going to want, if they want to eat your cookies.
Unless you have a paid subscription, and in that case, you don't have cookies.
Very interesting.
No, I thought it was really interesting, too, and I don't even like to talk about the site just because I think it does break families apart, and I don't think there's anything good about it. If you're in a relationship where you're swingers and you want to do something like that, then that's you. You do whatever you got to do. I don't care. That's fine. Good luck to you. But the fact that there is a site there to help people along, well, if you're going to cheat, at least, you know, respected site, and we'll help you through it, and we'll make sure that you
I'll bet you. That's so interesting. I will bet you that out of the 70 million users, we'll say 30, well, let's just say 70 million. I'll bet you, what percentage you think go in and then never follow through? A third?
No, I wouldn't.
You think it's less than a third? You think like
a lot less than a third? Because if you are willing to get on the site itself, I think you've already made up your mind that you're willing to go that route.
I don't know. I think, because think about it.
You may not get on it the first time, but if you are willing to go look at it and explore it, then you've already decided in your mind, this is a route I want to take. This is not one of those, I just had a bad argument, screw you, I'm going to Ashley Madison.
No.
Ashley Madison, for people that have already thought the process through, I want to go get something, or I want to go have an intimate relationship or an emotional relationship.
I feel like it could change you. I feel like it could, it's tangible enough, because it's exactly what you said. This relationship is bad. I'm not getting the sex. I'm not getting the emotional thing. I'm done. And instead of going out to a bar, right, because that's too dangerous, you get on that site. And I can definitely see people getting on that site, starting to pick people. And then at that moment, their conscience really kicks in.
This is like saying, I want to try heroin, but I have no intention of becoming an addict.
No.
You try just a little bit, just see how it tastes.
No, but that's exactly what I'm talking about. I want to try heroin.
Yep.
And then they put it right in front of you. Here you go, smoke, shoot it up.
This would be a great bumper, by the way. Yeah.
Listen, this is exactly it. I'm going to try heroin. I'm going to do it. It's premeditated. You're not at a party. Yep. Oh, this is exactly the same. You're not at a party.
You're in a controlled situation, so you feel more comfortable doing it.
Well, no. But like, if you're at a party, you're going to cheat. It's sort of serendipitous. It kind of happens. You're caught up in it, blah, 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 blah. Same thing with heroin, potentially. You're at a party. People are drinking. They're snorting coke. And then all of a sudden, you know, you go into the bathroom and there's somebody shooting up heroin. Yep. And you're like, God, I've done coke. I've done everything else. I might as well try that, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so in your mind, right there and then, you're thinking, I think I want to try this. And the person's like, okay, here's a needle. Here you go.
Yeah.
And in that moment, where you're actually faced with it, is that the moment, because it's there? Here you go. Well, I might not. See, I think that there are a group of people who get...
Oh, there's a group of people. It ain't a third, though.
I don't know. Because it's much easier to explore that than to explore hooking up with somebody.
Yeah. Well, and the problem there is then once you've broached that or crossed that line to even get on the site... You are getting cookies. Hey, we noticed recently you got on, you're getting text messages. And so that temptation is constantly there. So they're going to push you over the top. They're going to get you.
They're going to get a lot of people.
I'm sure there's people that have gotten in and said, this is totally wrong. I should not do this.
That's what I mean.
We should get on the site this morning and just see how.
You should. I can. Well, you can't because you're not cheating on anybody.
But I, you know what? I don't want to.
Are you not allowed to?
Huh?
You're not cheating on anybody.
I can. No, you can do whatever you want. But so, I don't want to bring any more I just think it's interesting because when you have a, it's like Facebook. They've got so many millions and millions and millions of users. They got their own database of and it's really science at this point.
I could go work for Facebook. They got people like me doing research. I've told you, one of the things so interesting, I know Facebook or Meta has gotten a bad rap, but they've done some fascinating things about like flu outbreaks, pandemic outbreaks. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I bet you Facebook, you can mash up the Facebook profiles with Ashley Madison. Oh, this is so interesting.
I'm sure Ashley Madison has its own. because where do they get the men and women it's not a prostitution thing because they don't have like 100,000 men and women waiting to cheat with you. It's all people that want to cheat with each other.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that they probably have core group of people that are influencers on their site.
Top users.
Yeah.
You get badges.
How many likes do you have?
You've cheated 175 times. You are one of our top. Oh, I'm sure you get. You pay?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I like a ton.
It's quite a bit.
Well, you get a bonus.
I think it was $129 a month or something like that when it first started.
So congratulations.
Yeah.
You're one of our top users.
The more you use, the better algorithms, the better looking the woman.
Well, that plus you get like bonuses. You get it's like Ann Taylor bucks or whatever.
Yeah.
You get this month.
Cold cash.
Yeah, this month. It's exactly. Mr. Curry, this month you've cheated 175 times and you get $50 worth of Ashley Madison bucks.
I'm sure it's on there.
I love this.
I'm sure.
They run
specials.
And
that's where, you know, like guys.
Cyber Monday specials.
Guys who run, work out of town a lot, they love the dating apps.
Well, yeah, because it's.
Because they get a different woman in every town. I'm going to New York, and it's fine. That's fine. If they're not married.
It's not fine.
No, if they're not married.
Yeah.
But they're like, yeah, I'm going to New York, and I'm meeting so-and-so. And then I'm going to Phoenix next week, and I'm going to go meet so-and-so. And I'm like, that's great. And I'm like, do these women know that you're. Because some relationships, he sees them once a week because he travels, like once a week to New York to do seminars. And I'm like, okay.
So is it the same person they see?
Yeah, same person. He's like, I'm looking forward to seeing Yvette coming up.
Well, that's dating. That's dating.
It is dating. But I'm like, is she aware that you have three women in three other cities you're going to see later on the week?
Well, that's we talked about that.
He's like, no.
That's dating around. Well, she should ask him.
Well, no, she should get on his profile. She'll see pictures.
Or just ask him.
Exactly. Interesting story. Flight attendant Ainsley Elizabeth, who was on a board flight from New York to Atlanta, Georgia recently, was walking down the aisle and noticed that a woman had one of those like hairless cats swaddled up in a blanket so it looked like a baby.
Okay.
Her shirt was up.
Oh, geez.
And she was trying to get the cat to latch on. And she wouldn't put the cat back in the carrier. The cat was screaming for its life.
Oh, where'd you find
She revealed in the video that security got involved. She went to the woman and said, listen, this is weird. You need to put the cat away and you need to
stop.
Pull your shirt down. The unidentified female flew from Syracuse, New York to Atlanta, Georgia, where she was caught breastfeeding her feline on the plane. The flight attendant told her repeatedly to stop and put her cat back in the cage. However, the woman refused. A message was sent through the Aircraft Communications Addressing and Reporting System, also known as ACRS.
That must have been an interesting one. You got a what?
To alert, and I sent this story to Dr. Rab Stewart. We'll have this on Dark Side of the Pooch coming up on Monday night because this is one I thought I'd seen it all.
We just seen this at JP Dice.
Oh, yeah. To alert Delta crews in Atlanta that a passenger in seat 13A is breastfeeding a cat will not put it back in the carrier when the flight attendant requested it.
Can you just see the message coming across? What?
There was no video of the actual incident, but there was a photo of the message board found on Reddit was posted on Twitter by author Rick Wilson that basically has... and they have these people called Redcoats. That work for Delta Airlines. They wear red coats. And these are people that don't want to get the law involved. They want to try to handle the security issue on their own. So if you got something where obviously you got something getting hell beat out of them or something like that, or just really think that then they'll call the cops. But if they can handle it on their own,
okay.
They will do so. So evidently when she landed in Atlanta, a bunch of red coats showed up. But we don't know whatever happened to the woman. And again,
that's just super bizarre.
Delta does allow animals such as small dogs, cats, and household birds Household birds.
Yeah, I've seen all
the board domestic flights, but must be able to fit in a small ventilated pet carrier. I've seen cats. I've seen dogs. I've never seen a bird. The airline's website outlines its policies on women breastfeeding children. Delta fully supports a woman's right to breastfeed on board Delta and Delta Connection flights. And in Delta facilities, breast pumps are allowed on board as well.
Well, because you know what's going to happen if you don't have, if you got a pump?
Oh, well, I like to think that you'd pump before you get on board.
Well, but what if you can't?
My ex used to do the pump thing, and that's not something you can do in secret.
No, you're not. No. I mean, you have to.
You can breastfeed without someone knowing. I've seen a woman. Yeah. I've sat next to a woman breastfeeding. I never knew.
Yeah.
But you can't.
Well, it's a machine
pump
with pistons and stuff.
I know, right? At the airport, if you prefer, many airports do offer private location rooms or spaces.
Have you ever seen them? Have you seen lactation pods?
Yeah.
Or what's really interesting about the ones I've seen them in the Atlanta airport? I've seen ones where it's a sort of near a restroom. It's a private area.
Uh-huh.
Atlanta Airport, it's a pod, a freestanding pod that, in fact, one of them I've seen is right before the food court.
Yeah.
But it's not, I don't know how to say this, not that you should be ashamed of it, but it's not discreet. It's this giant pod.
Yeah.
You just walk in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's very odd to me. Like, I would think that it should be over to the side. Like, it's on your way to Chick-fil-A. You go, okay. Yeah. I'm going to go pump. I'm going to go feed. You go get. Well, yeah, I've been.
I like the fact that it's not discreet because if they're willing to breastfeed on a flight, they don't. I mean, I think most women try to be discreet about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not a sexual thing. It's a life thing.
Well, and yeah. So from your wife, I'm like, it is not. Now, some women, it's a wonderful, beautiful, lovely bonding thing. Yeah. Talk to a lot of other women.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's living hell, this little thing that's mine is
painful,
gnawing,
yeah.
And
the first thing that when you have a baby is the breastfeeding police show up.
The lactation consultant.
The lactation consultant shows up.
They hand you
like
your
almost
card.
Immediately, and you're like, "Who are you?" And they're like, "That they want you to breastfeed."
So it's time.
Yeah.
And usually, this happened for us.
It's a little overbearing.
Well, that's what I said. Jules was gorked out on morphine from the C-section.
Yeah.
So she could barely hold her head up.
Yeah.
And the lactation consultant comes in with manuals and pamphlets, and she's explaining the whole thing, and we got her son, and I'm watching. Julie's eyes are crossing because she got the pain meds because she just had major surgery. And she's explaining all these things, and I finally said to the lactation, I'm like, I don't think Jules is getting all this. Like, it's
right
not, you know. It
no, because they want you to breastfeed like right now.
Right.
Like, let's try it. Like, you just got out of surgery. Let's go.
I'm telling you, we've said this before. Not only is it great to be a man, God love women.
Yeah.
Like, just the amount of respect that I have for all the things that we don't go through that they have to go through.
And we wonder why they're a little crazy.
Or resentful. Or not compassionate about our sort of problems and aches and pains.
Yeah. I was watching one of my episodes of Andy Griffith last night. I was trying to get in my comfort place.
Yeah.
And Barney and Andy were having issues with their two gals.
Yeah.
And they were sitting on the park bench outside. They're like, you know, these women, man, you know, that's why they're crazy. You just can't figure them out. I'm thinking to myself, man, that was the 60s.
Yes,
I'm thinking to myself, things have changed a little bit. Anyway, we don't know what happened to the woman, and I'm still trying to figure out why in the world she'd want to breastfeed a cat on a flight. Because it's not a baby. It's not a situation.
And you said the cat was screaming?
I mean, yeah, it's like she made it sound like the cat did not want to do it.
Okay, so she's probably out of her mind. Like drugs, mental health problem, probably. Yeah.
If you're making your animal do something
that's what I'm saying. That's like, is that bestiality? Kind of?
Yeah.
Bestiality foreplay.
If it's something the animal doesn't want to do, sure.
That's terrible.
I know, right?
We need PETA needs to be
and the
involved.
Fact that it was a hairless cat.
Which just makes it worse.
I would think, I don't know. I have very sensitive nipples.
What?
I don't like, I've had people try to pinch. I'm like, don't.
Have you heard a cat bite you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the claws.
But I'm thinking at the very least I'd want some fur.
Yeah.
Something soft.
Yeah.
And cuddly. But then again, it makes me think that maybe she had the hairless cat so she could pull off.
Oh.
Right? So she could do it because she said it did look like a baby. It looked like, you know, if you didn't.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was hairless. Yeah. Brian Kelly appeared to use a Southern accent in his LSU address.
Did you hear it?
Or
did
yeah,
you,
I did.
Was it? How bad? Did you say y'all or something?
Had I not read the headline, I would have noticed that he was speaking a little differently.
Okay.
He stepped on the court with a microphone at a Tigers basketball game Wednesday night, spoke with a Southern twang that everyone on the internet found hilarious. It's a great way to get started, and I haven't even won all my games yet, he said. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family. We're so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana. And then, of course, Sports Illustrated is new LSU head coach Brian Kelly using a fake Southern accent. The word family was particularly exaggerated, and Sluice have already figured out that he said the word very differently while completing his Irish exit earlier this week. If you take his Irish family his Louisiana family, they sound much different.
Come on, Brian.
He's obviously been ridiculed. Well,
I know. He's just stepping in it. Like, it's not.
I don't think he did it. He didn't on purpose.
I know. And my mom visits. She developed some strange, like, Mobile, Georgia, antebellum, which is not, it's not a Birmingham.
Yeah, the minute you get here, people are like, are you going to say fixin' to?
Yeah.
Are you going to start talking Southern? I talk different than I did when I got here 30 years ago.
Yeah, so do I.
But I also think in a much different way when I get around my black friends, when I get around my gay friends, and I use the best example, my brother has a stutter. And whenever I get around him when we go to Vegas or down to Louisiana or Mississippi to go gambling or whatever. We haven't done it in a while, but whenever we do, I find myself stuttering and speaking like him. And I have had to apologize to him. He loves me and we're brothers. So I'm like, I find myself speaking like you. And he goes, I take that as a compliment. And I said, good, because that's what I mean it for. I emulate you. You're my big brother. I love you. And I find myself
that's
so comfortable around
that's
you.
A little different. That's different than an accent. The stuttering is really interesting. I've never heard about that.
Yeah, well,
The accent makes sense.
It's the most sincere form of flattery to emulate. So the fact that he's trying to sound like one of them.
Yes. But it's almost like there's a difference between consciously doing it, right? So I'm going to put the accent, which it doesn't sound like that's not what he was doing.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think that unlike the stuttering, when there is a easy, it's not words. So like fixin' to, might could, these are words that you and I, when we came here, they're phrases and words that we didn't use.
Yeah.
We always say y'all is a universal, beautiful word. It works perfectly. It flows off the tongue. It's not something that you have to sort of put words together. So I think that saying something like family or family is very subtle.
Yeah.
Right. But like fixing to, like if you were to come out and say we're fixing to have a great season.
Yeah.
They're gonna be like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
Come on, dude, you're trying too hard. Like, stop. But I just feel like Brian Kelly's, like, it's nothing wrong. Like, he's like,
from Boston.
He's like whack-a-mole. He's just
But for the same reason, if you go to New York for a couple of weeks, you're going to start talking a little more New Yorkan.
New York's harder. See, I think the reason that people pick up the Southern is because all that, minus the words, Southern, like now this is our link, like I'm a linguist.
Yeah.
I'm a linguist right now.
Yeah.
The Southern is easy because the accent is relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you sort of think about someone who's had a couple drinks and just slows down, once you start slowing down, now you almost sound Southern.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas like New York, Boston, I feel like it's more effortful.
Yeah, I agree with you. But again, my whole point being is that people are saying that Brian was trying to sound like that.
No, so I bet he wasn't.
He wasn't. I mean, I think he had been around for at least a couple of days,
around
enough coon asses in Louisiana talking people. If you go all the way to the right, man, it gets to the point where you can't even understand a word they're saying.
Us choose Louisiana. It's not New Orleans.
And so if you've been supplanted down there and you go down there and you realize that, but I do think it's a form of flattery. He was not mocking the LSU fan base.
No.
He was wanting to be one of them, which really
for him
And maybe
his
that
personality's trying.
And maybe because he didn't change anything, and it still was Midwest to Midwest from Cincinnati to South Bend.
Yeah.
But maybe he, because he was at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
It made him the way he is.
Kind of bunged up.
You kind of going with me here?
Like bunged up and.
Yeah, you're at a Catholic university. It's right. A private university.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're a little more. Mm-hmm. You're a little more. Thought-provoking and your takes on things, and you're mm-hmm. very, very careful what you say.
Yes.
You don't want to talk about politics or abortion or any of those other things just because you just...
Right.
First of all, you probably don't need to because you're at a Catholic university, a private university, but maybe that's why he was kind of bunched up. I'm interested to see...
Right, does he loosen
I got a perfect example here. Huh. Mike Leach.
Yeah.
Mike Leach goes from the far West Coast,
yeah.
as far West Coast you can go in Pullman, to Starkville, Mississippi.
Oh, see, I don't think that. No. See, I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to, because I've been to Pullman. You've been to Pullman?
I have not been to Pullman.
No, but okay.
But I mean, it's West Coast.
No, it's not West Coast. That's exactly.
Geographically speaking.
No, it is not. But culturally, it is not West Coast.
Yeah.
Our friend Rob Crown grew up in Eastern Washington. Yeah. I am telling you that Eastern Washington is not Mississippi. But it is much closer to Mississippi than what you're talking about, the West Coast. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's I don't know how to say it. It's country-ish. Yeah. But okay. Mike Leach is a different cat because Mike Leach is Mike Leach. You could put Mike Leach in New York. You could put him in
that's my point. He doesn't speak any different because I think a lot of people think just because you move down south, you're going to speak slower and a little bit
more. Some people do, some people don't. I think that's really interesting, too. If you notice, people that we interact with that come here from different places, some people develop an accent, some people don't. I've seen people here, my wife, people say that I have more of a Southern accent than my wife, who was born in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And spent most of her adult life in the South.
Yeah. I love it when you get down there, though. You're not from here.
You're not from here. That's when I got here. They're like,
but I haven't had anybody say that to me in a long time.
Well, no, because you're fixing.
I consider myself Southern now.
No, you're not. Oh no.
Oh no. I'm
no,
Southern.
You got to be born a Southerner. You're a Yankee. Okay. You're Yankee.
I haven't been called a damn Yankee in about 25
years. You're a Yankee
years.
For life.
It took me about 5-6 years to be accepted here.
Well, you.
Because I was a Cincinnati. A lot of people didn't like the fact that a Yankee was coming down to Birmingham, Alabama, to do radio. But after I was accepted, then I could do anything I wanted.
I had somebody ask me the other day, the realization that someone who's known me for a long time, they're like, oh my God, your kids are Southern. I'm like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
They were born, but you're not. Nope. They were born and raised here.
All right. So I got several more stories here. We're going to take a quick break. We're not taking a break at all. We're playing some classic rock. Get the Tony Curry Radio app. We play classic rock to the bone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Austin Hank Show last night was fantastic. It'll replay at noon on Monday. Later on tonight, 8 o'clock, the Damon Johnson Show. We'll do that brand new show at 8 o'clock tonight. Looking forward to that. And, of course, you can listen to us, again, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the free Tony Curry radio app. Watch us on the Tony Curry page on Facebook. We have some more transgender news.
You can talk about Taylor and Don McLean.
You know, we can. She broke the record for, I guess it's a number one song. It's 10 minutes and 13 seconds long. American Pie held the distinction of being the longest number one song of all time. Have you ever heard the 3-minute version, which AM radio was all over for a period of time because you couldn't play 7-minute songs because you were trying to get as many songs into an hour as you possibly could.
You can't do that.
It's terrible.
It's horrible. It's a story. You can't.
Exactly.
It's like telling, do they... Is it a sampling of it, or is it like the first?
Well, and the refrain is long enough that you could just do the refrain and not do the story at all, and it'd be 3 minutes long, right?
Right.
So it's her 10 minutes and 13 seconds. Now, she's got different versions. You're not going to hear the 10-minute, 13-minute version on Magic.
No, this is her, Taylor's version.
So this is where, to me, his hit still stands. Because I can make a 10-minute version of anything that's a hit, an extended version. And hold the distinction of having the longest, because her 10-minute version isn't the hit. It's the edited version that's the hit. Although the long edited version or the album version is the 10-minute version.
No, but it is a hit. The 10-minute version is a hit.
And
She's got a shortened version that is a hit.
And we used to judge hits based on airplay. Now it's streaming.
Well, yeah.
So I can... You used to have to listen to the radio station to hear your song.
Well, yeah, it's different, but now it's not.
But now you can stream it 10 million times in one day if you want, and she gets credit for that. So the record, to me, kind of stood. But the other thing is very interesting. She wrote him a really nice note.
That's...
And I like to stand on shoulders of blah, 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 blah.
Classic Taylor Swift.
She's catching a little backlash.
Why?
In that letter. Well, I'll explain it to you after you talk about one of our great sponsors, and then we'll do a couple classic rock songs, and I'll tell you why Taylor Swift is catching hell for doing that right here on Tony Curry Radio.
You did your research. So I'm going to tell you about my friend John Gray from Driscoll Gray. John Gray is an amazing financial advisor. Managing your finances is complicated, and you should not be doing it unless you're a financial advisor, and you should trust your financial advisor, and your financial advisor should be doing more than investing your dollars. They should be helping you with debt management, tax management, savings, figuring out the best way to take the money you have and make it work for you, and it's not just about investment. John Gray's been doing that for me for well over a decade. He can do it for you, too. Go to his webpage today. It's DriscollGray.com. That's DriscollGray.com.
TKR, Tony Curry Radio, your home for Curry and Claypool in the mornings, classic rock to the bone all day long, the Damon Johnson Show later on tonight. I think we're doing Damon's six favorite vocalists tonight. No, we did that last week because we did Fred. No, we're doing the six songs that he. We're doing the six songs that he first learned on guitar in his garage band.
Right.
By the way, he drops the F bomb like three times in the interview.
Is that not like him?
Really not like him. Well, it's not like him because he does a lot of interviews.
Yeah.
And so I was, and he apologized. I said, no, dude, it's internet radio. It sounds fantastic. This is rock and roll, dude. This is rock and roll. If you go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there's a movie theater that you go in, and they ask you to go see the clip before you walk through. And it's something that's narrated by, I think, Pete Townsend. And it says it's a rated R. Mm-hmm. You know, and you got kids and families going in there, and it is as raw. There's nudity in it. It's rock and roll to the core. I can imagine when they put this thing together and said, "Listen, folks, you know, it's a museum, but in museums, it's real. You pull everything back.
Listen,
it's raw. It's like when you go to the Holocaust museums or slavery museums or the Civil Rights Museum. It's as raw as it's real, man. I mean, this is the way it was. They're not there to apologize for history. This happened, okay? And a lot of weird shit's happened in rock and roll, man. And that's what's created this incredible format that we play here on Tony Curry Radio. And you watch it, and it will blow you away. He talks about this ever-burning fire that continues to roar through 50 and 60 years of classic rock, and then at the end says the burning is from the bodies of the Kurt Cobains, of the Jan Deans, and of the 27 Club, of the Robert Johnsons, and all these people that died too early, the Princes, the Whitney Houstons, the Elvis Presley. I mean, it goes on and on and on, and it's kind of like, whoa. I mean, it'll lay you back in your seat, and you're like, no one leaves when the movie's over. It's only about 20 minutes. And you're sitting there and you're looking at it and you're like, oh my gosh. But then it makes you really appreciate everything that you're about to see. It's not a Hard Rock Cafe where there's autographed pictures of Elvis Presley. I want to go back. I'd love to take you there. We're working on doing a trip for Tony Curry Radio listeners to the Rock and Roll of Fame. We were supposed to do it last year for the induction ceremony. It was all set up. And then, of course, COVID hit. So we'll do that, but it's super cool. And I used to do my show up there once a year, and it's an amazing situation.
Can we change and move back to the Dallas Cowboy Chillers? This is terrible.
This is awesome.
I mean, this is like,
wow. So for people who don't know,
it's gotta be like the highlights. They're shooting deer over there.
And then there's the Baywatch there, right? And so it's the
ultimate in distraction.
Yeah, it's the Baywatch channel.
it's fine.
It's the Baywatch channel.
Oh my God.
And it's re-digitally mastered for your viewing pleasure. And so there's all these outtakes. And it's just like, it's like all the stuff they'd use like in between scenes, I guess. And so it's just like women like. Can you imagine working on a show like that? You don't think there was some sexual harassment going on in Baywatch? If you're David Hasselhoff, how'd you pull that off? I mean, in every scene, and it's. Yeah, sorry. A woman who got 3.7 million viewers on her TikTok. Was getting married. Wife Holly Lynn Colenda Darnell unintentionally put her grooms in sickness and in health loyalty to the test when she was taking her vows, and she kept trying to tell her husband under her breath that she didn't feel well. She suffers from low iron and blood pressure, and she hadn't eaten and drank anything all day, which is not real smart.
Okay, yeah. Here we
go. She's 23, so in the chaotic clip, she was caught eyeing her husband, saying, listen, I don't feel well. He thought she was joking.
Oh, no.
The pastor began officiating their holy matrimony under an outdoor gazebo in Florida, where it was pretty warm. This is about a month ago. She then fell limp into her husband's to-be arms, and he said, are you okay? Jackson asked after he and the pastor caught Darnell's fall and began fanning her face. She shook her head no, then stumbled over to the railing of the gazebo where she began
vomiting,
throwing up.
Of course.
And so in an effort to cool her off, her sister had her baby, her nephew, and went over to her to fan her off, and she was holding the nephew. The nephew shit on her. pooped out of his pants and went down her arm, and you can check out the video. It's
Went down the arm of the bride who was vomiting.
Of the bride who was vomiting.
Oh, my God.
You can go to
That's like PTSD. You could develop... You literally... Oh, my God. Go.
She said she wrote on Hollinator 1424, I kept trying to tell my husband I didn't feel good. He thought I was joking. My baby nephew then pooped on my dress right after I was puking. So she's lying there in her slop by the side of the gazebo, and the kid is pooping down her arm, and she's like, what are you going to do?
That's horrible.
Is that a precursor for how their marriage is going to be?
No. Jeez. By the way, they're just shooting things left and right on the other page. So we're seeing... TNA so on this.
This is good. This is two guys
it's
in their
terrible,
50s.
Terrible. Look at this. They're just shooting, literally just killing things and holding them up to the camera. What are you doing? Why do you do this to me? Why do you do this to me?
This is good. This is our room.
I know, but dude, I can't stay focused.
If we had Misty Smith in here or something.
I didn't send you a picture. You know that there is a CNN journalist who absolutely, I sent it to Misty last night, looks... I'll send you the picture. You would swear on your life it's Missy Smith talking to you.
Really?
Yeah.
Sounds like her, looks like her, both.
It looks like her, doesn't sound exactly like her.
Really?
I don't know why I'm even saying that. Okay, keep going.
Organizers on Fridays, we pop all over the place, so we're doing that today. Organizers from the Global Drug Survey have asked 32,000 people from 22 different countries to monitor their alcohol consumption for 2020 from January 1st, 2020.
That's good.
Through the end of the year, and they're starting to get this information in order to obtain a snapshot of global drinking habits. They do this on a regular basis, but this year they reached out to get a bigger sample size and for more countries because of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this yesterday. You know, when you don't change your oil in your car for a little while and it gets up to 9,000 miles, it still runs.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, after you get your oil changed, then, like, 20,000 miles later, you have problems. You have issues based on something you did 2 years earlier. That's where we're going to be with a pandemic. We're coming out. We're okay. And then people are going to be getting back to work, and you're different. Or you're strange.
I started
drinking a lot more. I started getting on the drink order app, or I started smoking too much dope, or blah, blah, blah. And it's going to affect relationships. I mean, I'm not trying to be doom or gloom here.
Let's be real.
Another converse way, there's going to be some people that come out the other side better than they were. They found out things about themselves, or they created businesses or opportunities for themselves, or they started doing charity. So there's good things, too. But for the most part, we've gained an average of 29 pounds. We're drinking more. We're smoking more. We're finding more vices. We've become more impatient. I got honked at this morning. It's my fault, by the way. It's going to be one of the situations, and I don't think we're going to know probably for another 2 to 3 years until we find out where we're at.
No, we're not going to know. We're not done. So, like, we're not going to know. I mean, there's a lag period, but we're still in it.
Yeah.
And this is what I've said to you yesterday.
Well, and we're not emerging from anything.
We're still
in it, but we are emerging from the lockdown. 99% of our schools are open. Yeah. Things are back to normal in that aspect. It'll never be normal, but we've been through the worst of it. I think hopefully we hope so.
Yeah. Yes.
Hopefully we've been through the worst of it, and that worst part is where I think we were tested to the nth degree. Participants talked about how many times over the course of the year 2020, which is last year, you got drunk. And it doesn't say legally drunk because
yeah, but drunk is, at least they used the word drunk. It wasn't that you drank too much or whatever. I'm drunk.
If you say I'm drunk, right. You know, the old buzz driving is drunk driving. Yeah. Well, ask a buzz driver. They don't think they're drunk because they can still,
right?
You know, they can still walk across the yard. This is drunk.
Okay.
Okay. If you tell me when I'm drunk, I can tell you a few times where I'm just like, you know, you're drunk calling people.
Right.
You're falling across the yard. You may be
sending inappropriate emails and text messages.
Yeah.
And things like that.
On average, Australians drank two nights per week, but only became heavily intoxicated about once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
I'll go back to my college days. That's about what mine was. I think I, you know, pretty much every weekend you were going to have some pops. Just drunk, maybe once every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Participants from Australia got drunk an average of 27 times over the course of the year, almost double the global average, which was 15.
They like to party in Australia.
Yeah, I mean, I probably say I got drunk 27 times in my college years.
That's college. These are not college participants.
I know, right?
Well, yeah, college is more extreme.
Interestingly enough, Australian women consumed alcohol more frequently and more often, shattering stereotypes that Aussie males are the hardest drinkers in the world. I didn't realize there was that stereotype. Australian guys drink a lot?
Yeah.
I think about Irish guys and think about Germans, but I don't think about Australian dudes as heavy drinkers.
Yeah, I don't know.
And while those down under have always been known for their love of beer and wine, it's possible they were the drunkest country in 2020 because of it largely managed to avoid the COVID-19 lockdowns.
Okay.
Bars and clubs operate as usual, and the country was only plunged into strict shutdowns partway through 2021 when the Delta variant began to spread. You remember that? Australia was one of those countries. They were late to the party. They were clean. Everything was going good.
Right. Yeah, and then, right.
And people were like, okay, we don't need to shut anything down. Everyone thought, okay, what's Australia doing that's so right? And then, of course, it came back, and then they had to shut everything down. This may have had something to do with Australia being the highest-ranked country for frequency of getting drunk. The global drug survey found Denmark and Finland were tied as the second drunkest countries.
Okay.
With participants getting intoxicated an average of 24 times a year.
That's pretty close.
The United States came in third. Getting bloto, an average of 23 times a year.
Yeah, well, we were eating more.
Followed by the United Kingdom. And then Canada was fifth.
Well, Canada makes sense.
Yeah. Australia's closest neighbor, New Zealand, reported one of the lowest drinking rates in the survey. So how's that possible?
I don't know.
Kiwi participants got drunk an average of only 10 times in 2020.
They're in better shape.
Meanwhile, Mexicans were the least likely to become heavily intoxicated with a participant getting drunk one time on average over the course of the entire year. How is that possible? Maybe Mexicans aren't getting drunk, but the tourism that go there are getting drunk.
Right. But the tourism was kind of shut down. There's less people. I don't know.
What's really interesting about this...
Like, We're a hot mess.
Maybe in Mexico, they're not getting drunk; they're getting high. Is there a difference? Because I mean, I think this is just getting drunk. This is just
yeah.
Drinking.
Well, I know here, you talk to college students, and it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't just about getting drunk. There's a lot more getting high, because I'll tell you this. I've talked to a number of college students, who are now going back.
And
to,
you have too.
Yeah, and. You know, as those of us who are not in school, we're like, oh, come on, how bad? You know, you're in college, blah, 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 blah. But talk to them, and they say to you this. Number one, I'm supposed to be going here to take, you know, to have a good time and interesting classes and stuff. And I sat for an entire year looking at my computer screen. Mm-hmm. It was in Tulsa. I've talked to my daughter about this. She's like, it's brutal. She's like, it's brutal. I mean, I think, and I tried to sit back and think, okay, I've been on meetings, Zoom meetings that were like 2 hours long, you know, and you're pretty like, it's boring.
Yeah.
She's like, try every class all the time. Then, you know, on top of it, all the fun stuff that everybody tells you, oh, your college years are the best years of your life, blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's all gone. And so I'm not saying this about my daughter, because I've talked to other college students. A lot of them just got high.
Yeah.
It wasn't so much about drinking, because drinking, there's
Would you think, though, and again, I know we're talking about young adults here, would you think, though, that grades would be better? That there wouldn't be that temptation to go out and get partied up?
No, worse, because it's less engaging. It's just less engaging. You know, you're doing you got the lecture going and you're multitasking like everybody else.
Yeah.
And my kids would say it was just boring. Like, it was just boring. And then you're right. You're not going out to party, but you're still partying. And this is where I saw the marijuana use go up. Because you're right. It's like, how many times can you get drunk with your roommates?
Yeah, every night.
No, but versus getting high. Mm-hmm. And now what you're seeing, I'm seeing a lot of this. And college students are getting crapped on about it, and I don't think it's fair. You know, they're like, why are we even doing this? Why am I here? Like, who cares about my freaking biology class?
Yeah.
And I will tell you, the number one of every client that I see, the number one question, and I see a huge range, age, socioeconomic status, all that kind of stuff, is this pandemic has forced or created the question, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Why am I working this job? Why am I a parent? Why am I a college student? Which I think is... You don't always see, that's not a tip, how can I say this? Not everybody comes in to talk to a coach or thing asking, why is my life this way? It's not a typical question.
No, I think we've gotten incredibly philosophical.
Yes.
And I have too.
Yeah.
Well, now, I've been going through a lot of other crap in my life, but there are some days where I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Why am I here? What is my purpose here?
Yes.
And I think in a bigger way, you could say, well, why am I going to college? This is not what I went to college for. Why? You know, and it's okay. You know, I told my son the other day, who's, you know, obviously a junior, you know, we're pushing because we want him to go to college. But he asked, you know, what would you think about me taking a year off? And I'm like, listen, we can discuss that. That's okay. Or
this
skill trade, whatever, blah, blah. I know some parents, and I don't know how you are, because some parents are like, you're going to college.
Ours was, you're going to do...
I got some friends of mine that were always, you're going to college, my kids are going to college. And then when their kids got older and they became interested in something that they really loved and that could be self-supporting, they were like, get into a skill trade.
Yeah.
Get into something that you enjoy doing. Because college will always be there. You can always go back to college. There's this thought that if I don't go to college right out of high school, I'm not going to college. And it's not true.
No, it depends. I mean, it definitely depends on the person. Because I think one of the things that you have to, the problem is in this country, tech trade, you kind of need it's almost like a high school diploma. Not everybody should go to college. Not everybody, it's not the right fit for everybody, but you know, when you're sort of out there, people are looking, do you have a college degree?
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter what it is in. Do you have a college degree? But I think one of the hardest things about being in college, particularly during a pandemic when everybody's asking these questions and all this kind of stuff, is people are asking the questions. Why? You know, because you have college classes just like high school classes. They're stupid. Yeah. You know, like, why am I taking this? This is not interesting. But I think the larger question that we're all asking, and it's a good one, is it's broader. It's, what is the meaning of my life? Which, you know, people are like, don't ask. Like, you just got to get through the day. No, you don't. That's what makes us human.
Yeah.
And it's sad to see. It's sad because Jules said this other night. She's like, look, you and I, we're old, dude. We're old. Yeah. We already had our college days. We already had all that kind of stuff. And I think a lot of college students are, here's the other thing I think you'll see, is I think you'll see changes in, besides being fat and drunk and high, you're going to see changes in, well, that's what we are.
We're screwed. Yeah.
We're so.
Aren't you glad you're not young right now?
We
should be old enough to know the differences of.
I'm serious. Well, I think what you're going to see is, I think you're going to see more kids taking time off. I think you're going to see more kids sort of not fumbling, but rambling through, instead of kind of going, you know, high school, maybe to college and then get a job. You're going to see a lot more kids going, I'm going to find myself.
Yeah.
I think you see more people doing like Peace Corps kind of stuff, taking time, because people are asking the question. The other question is, what do I do in a pandemic? Do I go get a job on Wall Street? Do I go get a tech job? As bad as this is, the good thing is, it is forcing us to ask questions about our life.
Yeah. And I think the fact that there are so many jobs out there right now that are available that aren't normally available.
Yes, that's a good.
Truck driver.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, you used to have protocol. You have to get a CDC license. Right. You had to do this. Well, you don't have to do that anymore because they need you.
Yeah.
And so you can get on the bottom level of something that maybe you like, point. And then you take that up, and next thing you know, you're running your own truck company. So there's a lot more opportunities.
Producers for an internet radio station.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No doubt. And I think it's funny because, you know, right now, if you said I managed a McDonald's or I managed a Publix, there's a gal that works at a Publix. She's been there for 15 years. That's her job.
Yeah.
And it provides for her family. That's what she does. And she does really well.
Yeah, yeah.
She's making like $80,000 a year.
Publix pays well, yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't sound good, but it's like, and she enjoys it. And so it's kind of like, you make what?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I manage this Publix. I make $80,000. I'm like, yeah. And she's 39 years old, 38 years old. I'm going, damn, maybe this radio thing doesn't work out. But now all of a sudden there's all these jobs. Yeah. You know, you can become an assistant manager within 6 months.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because they can't find anybody to work. So, I mean, there's a lot of skill things. And you don't need to have a college education to go.
No, but it's going to have the other way around. You're going to have all these MBAs like managing, like, because there's nothing, right? Look, I really didn't want to go to business school.
Look, if you're willing to put a little time in,
yeah.
I'm not talking about 10 years. I'm talking about a year or two.
Yeah.
You can end up managing anything you want right now.
So you're going to move? Is Santo going to move from bagging to manager?
Listen, I told him the other day, I said, listen, he loves bagging. He's moving up the chain because all these kids are falling off the wayside and they're not showing up to work, this, that, and the other. I said, who knows? Maybe one day you'll manage a store. And he's like, I said, hey, listen, someone's got to manage a store. And if it's right for you and you enjoy it and you're making $80,000 a year.
Do you remember our good friend Austin Faulkner?
Yeah.
Who was manager. He still is general manager at a Chick-fil-A, put himself through school or through college. I think actually he got a master's and his teaching credential while he was making whatever he was making and working at the radio station. But yeah. Also, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
No.
And I do, and I think that's the cool thing about the pandemic. I had a client ask me last night. He's like, do you think that the pandemic itself has caused all these people to think about their lives, or do you think it's that people start thinking about their lives and people see like what their friends doing, they're changing jobs, they're moving or whatever? I'm like, no, dude, this is the pandemic, because what the pandemic did is it put the brakes on normality. Globally, that's what.
Well,
it did.
And I love your analogy. It put the light on everything.
Yes,
we're under the light. It exposed all of our inefficiences.
And everyone, yep. See, this is the thing that I think is so fascinating about this, and I get all geeked out about this from a behavioral science standpoint. When something happens in a town, in a state, even in a country. Everybody who's not affected by it can sort of look at it. That was terrible, or those things happened. Look what happened in Texas. Look at it. But you're distant from it, and it doesn't really affect you. And I'm going to even say this, and although it does affect us, but even something as horrible as a mass shooting, it doesn't affect everybody in every angle of their life.
Yeah.
A pandemic does.
Yeah.
And so what happens is you can't look anywhere. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. You can't look anywhere and go, oh, well, you know, it's really things are just the same here. No. So, and what made it worse, or what made it worse about the pandemic is it's global. Yep. You can look in every sense. So what it forces you to do, and I'm not saying as horrible as the pandemic is, I'm not even saying that in and of itself is horrible. What it does is you look around and you go, life is not the same. There's a break there. And what it allows people to do, and in some case forces people to do, is go, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Because we don't typically have to do that. Mm-hmm. And when you ask yourself, what are you doing? And you don't just go back to normal. Oh my God. I've seen people get in relationships during this pandemic. We talked about the divorce rates have not gone up, but I've seen relationships get stronger. I've seen relationships get horrible. I've seen parents, yes, they want to kill their children, but I've also seen parents be forced to sort of look at, oh, this is what it means to parent, because here I am stuck with them 27 hours a day. I've seen lots of professionals who are used to just working and working and working, going, I'm working and working, and my kids are 2 years older now. Yeah. But I'm not traveling so I can see them growing up.
Yeah. To get back to this country that
Thank
drink
you for
the
letting
most.
Me do that. No,
that's great.
I feel so much better.
Those living down under who did get drunk on average 26 times a year.
That was a nice pivot.
The amazing thing is they asked them, did you regret getting drunk?
No, hell no.
24% said, yeah, they regret getting drunk as much as they possibly do. Compared to a global average of about 19%.
Okay, good. So they're remorseful. So that's a healthy drunk.
But they're still getting drunk. They're still drinking.
I wonder if the Australians got fat too. I wonder what the global, because I've only seen the national.
No, they're on a liquid diet. They don't get.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, you're right.
They're eating a lot of seafood. They're eating kangaroo, koalas. You don't see fat Australians, do you?
They all look like they're on Baywatch.
I haven't seen fat Australians. Yeah, I saw John Hurley on there a few minutes ago.
Look at she's sweating.
And Geraldo Rivera.
You see how she's sweating?
Geraldo Rivera was
I know
on
he was. That him?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we do, what was it? Science Theater. Was that what the thing?
Yeah, Mystery Science Theater.
Can we just do that with Baywatch?
That'd be great.
Do you see how notice how she's sweating, but she's not sweating on her face?
Yeah. All right, so we have another one of these transgender stories here. Leah Thomas, a 22-year-old transgender swimmer at the University of Pennsylvania, has been shattering women's records at the school. Before her transition, she competed for 3 years at Penn as a man named Will Thomas. At a meet including Princeton and Cornell a couple weeks ago, Thompson had a 1:43.47 time in the 200-meter freestyle and 4:35.06 in the 500-meter freestyle. Those times were records by quite a bit, by 3 seconds in one, five in the other. And,
oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah, in the NCAA Women's Championships, according to the website OutKick. It is unknown when Thomas transitioned from male to female, but the swimmer competed as a man as recently as November 2019.
Okay.
NCAA rules mandate at least 1 year of testosterone suppression treatment to be eligible to compete as a woman. There are rules for that.
I was just going to say, and then I'm glad you at least said that. This is not a, there are protocols in place.
Yeah. She came out and said, swimming is a huge part of my life and who I am. I've been a swimmer since I was 5 years old. The process of coming out as being trans and continue to swim was a lot of uncertainty and unknown around an area that's usually really solid. Really, as I was trans, threw into that question, was I going to keep swimming, what I did, and what did that look like? Being trans has not affected my ability to do the sport, and being able to continue is very rewarding for me. As is always the case, these stories like this, there's a lot of controversy about the fairness of people who are born as men competing as women. Well, of course, women's records are being smashed, tweeted Chicago-based sports performance coach Linda Blade. Lee competed as a male for the first 3 years in the NCAA. That's not right. We need to return to hashtag sex-biased sports, hashtag sex, not gender, to preserve fairness for female athletes. The Daily Mail documented a number of other social media users who felt similarly. This past June, the Department of Justice argued that laws in Arkansas and West Virginia, barring athletes who were born as men from competing in women's sports, were unconstitutional. The United States has a significant interest in ensuring that all students, including students who are transgender, can participate in an educational environment free of unlawful discrimination.
Interesting.
It did find out, it's interesting, a Gallup poll found that 68% of American respondents believe that transgender athletes should only be permitted to compete in sports that correspond with their gender at birth. 68%, two-thirds of us. That's a lot.
Well, this is,
I don't, we
haven't figured this thing out yet.
No, we haven't. No, we haven't. And listen, for the most part, it's not big news because there's not that many transgender people out there, period. We're talking, I don't know what the percentages is. Or it's not even a gay thing. You know, we could talk about gay things because it's roughly 7 or 8% of
them. There's a difference.
Well, I know, but I'm just talking about sheer numbers. Normally, if we bring up something and it, and I know whoever's watching, it doesn't affect them, I don't want to talk about it because it doesn't. We want to talk about things that are engaging to people. We talk about all things.
Yes.
But that's why, you know, when we're talking about relationships, we don't talk so much about gay relationships because gay relationships, well, you do because you have gay people in your life.
Yeah, but
it's important to you, and that's why. But I allow that to happen. I let you talk about it.
Yeah, but it's not just the reason is because it is. It's a the reason I talk about it is it is a part of our society, and it's big enough. It's big enough that it's on the radar. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
It's big enough. Here's one we don't talk a lot about.
But we do talk a lot about the LGBT plus stuff by itself, on its own. So we certainly, it's not something we don't talk about. No. We talk about that crap all the time. But when we're talking about, when we're talking from two guys who are heterosexual, things that we engage with, that we are most familiar with, then that's what we talk about. The fact that you have a gay son and a gay uncle, I certainly understand that. We go there. But when we talk about relationships, I don't feel like we need to preface the fact, oh, and by the way, homosexual people too. It's a relationship. It doesn't matter whether it's guy, girl, whatever. It's a relationship. It's but a transgender, you're talking, I don't know what the percentage is. It's got to be less than 1%. So when we're talking about this, but then it's affecting heterosexuals, homosexuals, anyone that's gender-based and they were born a girl and they're still a girl. This is weird to me. Only in that the NCAA allows you to compete, which I think is right, but only after a year of testosterone-based therapy. And obviously, if you're breaking records by 4 and 5 seconds,
maybe it's not enough.
Something's not right because you don't see that. You don't see that. And just being honest, it looks like a guy.
Yeah.
He's 6'3". Mm-hmm. Women aren't 6'3".
Well, yeah,
some.
They are.
They play basketball down La Moreau. No, but for the most part, they're not. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I understand, and the fact that 67, 68% of Americans in this Gallup poll believe that, listen, you should be able to. And so we had this discussion. So what should we do? Should we have the transgender games?
No.
Well, do we do?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think this girl had this grandiose idea of I'm going to be born a boy and when I'm 19 I'm going to break all these records. That's not the point.
The reason I talk about this is because this is important to talk about. Transgender is not something that you wake up one day and decide. I mean, that drives me bananas.
By the way, is Caitlyn Jenner is Bruce Jenner a woman?
Bruce Jenner is no longer Bruce Jenner.
No, I know he's not Bruce Jenner. But, and he says he's a woman, but has he gone through
the transition?
The transition.
The surgical transition. I do not know. I don't know. I know he's gone through the horror. I know she. I know Caitlyn has gone through. She's gone through all the hormonal treatments. What I don't know, just because I don't know and I haven't read up on it, is the surgical gender assignment. Gender reassignment surgery.
And do you have to go through the gender reassignment surgery to, obviously in the NCAA, you don't.
You don't.
You just need to have testosterone therapy for a year in order to compete.
Testosterone repression.
But to be diagnosed, not the word, to be distinguished as.
No, absolutely not.
Male, female, you don't have to have the
surgery. No, now, what happens is.
Why is that?
Well, for a couple of reasons. One, transgender individuals who are transgender and they're doing studies now, and this is again, I think this is important. They're doing the studies out of the University of Washington now because it's a relatively small population. What they're trying to figure out is they're trying to track kids and figuring out at what age are transgender traits or signs starting to emerge, because we've talked about this. When your child is born, while they may be born anatomically male or female, they don't freaking know what they are.
Yeah.
Right? This is the, it's penis envy. Yep. It's every one of our daughters looked at their, you know, I don't have one of those.
Yeah.
Why? So what they're trying to figure out at the University of Washington and other things is at what point, because gender identity kicks in somewhere around age four, five, six, where people start, kids start realizing I am a boy or I'm a girl. So what they're trying to figure out is does the confusion kick in? Because again, remember that, try to put yourself in the shoes of this. You try to go back and think of yourself as a child. I've always thought of myself as a boy.
Yep.
Never thought of myself as a dinner. But I can imagine if I was in this body as a child going, I don't think I'm this. You know, I'm looking around and so what they're trying to figure out is it age 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, where kids start to verbalize,
yeah,
I'm not a boy, Dad, or I'm not a girl. And the reason that that's important is that psychological recognition is what starts off the whole process. Because they don't, we talk about homosexuals, they don't pick it.
Yeah.
They don't pick it. So the reason that the reassignment surgery is not a requirement, mm-hmm, is you don't have to be surgically altered to live your gender identity. It helps. This is why we do the testosterone suppression, or we give females testosterone, because what you're trying to do, Caitlyn Jenner, if you are a woman who is trapped in a man's body,
yeah,
and you want to become that woman, first you dress that way,
yeah,
right? And then we use medically, because surgery is the most invasive, because mm-hmm, we're cutting things off and creating crevices, etc. So my point is that is the last piece that some people don't do. They don't do. Now again, you take a Caitlyn Jenner. She's had all the hormones.
It's interesting because whenever we look at puppies, cats, gerbils, snakes, what do?
Yeah,
is it a male or female? You look. See if it's got a wiener. If it's got a wiener, it's a male.
Yeah, because they have less traits, though. They have less physical attributes.
I realize that, but what you're telling me, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but what you're telling me is that gender...
Gender is not just a penis or a vagina.
Gender is not, yeah. And...
It's not.
A lot of people would disagree with
that. No, they're wrong.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
They're wrong.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
It's rare.
Of course.
Super rare.
Well, but it is. But it's,
because
it's not
super
so,
rare to be born a girl and have a penis.
It is.
It happens.
Listen, it is.
Yeah.
But it's here's the thing. We've talked about this too. It's not so rare that we've never heard about it.
Yeah.
That's the there are enough individuals who are in this situation that we talk about it.
Yeah.
And yes, it is mind-blowing. It is difficult to wrap your head around, you know? And again, what I say is, you know, be very careful before you pass judgment about what you think you know and what you don't know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've talked about it, you never know what another person's experience is. And so I would say to people who are not trans, the same way that you feel comfortable with being in your body in the same gender, can you imagine if you were trapped,
yep,
and you didn't feel that way?
According to the UCLA School of Law, Williams Institute, 1.4 million people identify as transgender.
This is why they're trying
Now, there are, let's be honest, there are some people that identify as transgender, but they aren't really transgender, because we've had some people. And it's certainly not as many as transgender people, because they've changed their mind. They were male, they wanted to be female, and then they changed their mind. They went back and said, "No, I think actually I'm a male." And I think that's the part that's confusing to a lot of people that want to fly. It's either misdiagnosed, they were confused, whatever it is.
And this is why we don't do part of the reason that we don't do gender reassignment.
Well, maybe it's like, okay, are we going to follow through on this? And you're because even Caitlin said, "I'm not sure I'm going to have that done," because
it's the steps.
Yeah.
It's the steps. I mean, so before you will do, before people will do gender reassignment surgery, they want to know, they do a number of things. Number one, you need to live, they ask you to live in the gender that you feel that you are.
Yeah.
Okay. For at least a year.
Yeah.
That's number one. Then number two, and sometimes this happens this way. People live, individuals live that way without any of the hormone stuff.
Uh-huh.
Then the hormone stuff to sort of, to physiologically put you there. And then the gender reassignment. The reason that this is interesting, and this will make a lot of people bristle at this, the reason that they want to understand how early on can a child identify that they are not, mm-hmm. this is where it gets super interesting and very controversial. If you're going to, if you're transgender and you know it by age 9 or 10, the time to create the medical or the physiological changes with hormones is before you hit puberty.
Pre-pubescent,
yeah. It also, if you think about it, one of the hardest things about transitioning as an adult is that you've lived, everybody knows you one way. Well, when you're 8.
No, it's an interesting study because a lot of people say that 8-year-olds don't know what they are yet.
Well, this is what the study is.
It's not possible.
And this is what they're trying to figure out. Now, I will tell you some of the preliminaries.
Because you're messing with a 9-year-old.
Well, that's exactly. So what they do, what they're doing, and I know families. Listen, I know families who have children who are between the ages of, I can think of two families between the ages of 7 and 10, who are absolutely in this dilemma. Their child is saying things like, I'm not a boy.
Yeah.
I am not a boy. And it's not like one day, I'm not a boy. They are, don't make me be like a boy.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're the parents of that, talk about rocking your world.
Yeah.
And so kids do, let's just use your daughter as an example. She's 9. Mm-hmm. I am pretty confident that she has a good sense of who she is as a from a.
By the way, remind me to talk about heels.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like if you asked her, because I don't think your daughter's transgender, she would say, I'm a girl. I know I'm a girl. If you took the same 9-year-old who it's questionable, they would tell you, I don't like girl things. I'm not, and I'm talking tomboy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a girl, but I don't like being a girl.
Okay. Well, what's that deciphering of tomboy? And she likes to hunt. She likes to play in the dirt with the mud.
Yeah. Well, that's got nothing to do with whether the difference.
But I mean, if you ask that 9-year-old, they go, I don't like girl things.
That's
I like to do things with boys.
Because you're not. It's not things. It's not things. And again, I have met two kids who I am pretty sure, and this is why we don't know, I'm pretty sure because they're young, that they are transgender. They don't talk about, I don't like to do boy things or girl things. They will say, I don't like being a girl. Don't make me be a girl.
Yeah.
At that age.
My daughter was going to dance class last night.
In
got
heels?
Her in a car.
By the way, our whole thing, for you yesterday on the news, I wore a tie.
Thank you.
I did. Good. I was very uncomfortable.
Did they
but
love
you know
it?
What?
They
I looked it. I looked super dapper.
And they loved it. They probably loved it.
They didn't care.
No, you're a TV guy. That's good.
Well, I always
you
wear a
wear
jacket.
More of it.
I always wear a jacket.
You get more gigs if you wear,
okay.
wear ties.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
And jackets, a nice restaurant. So I said, you look very nice. She had her little outfit on. She was talking about she had these pants on. She didn't have her regular tights on. And I said, where's your tights? She goes, we don't have to wear tights. So I'm just going to wear these pants. I said, okay. She goes, yeah, other girls wear pants. I said, well, good. I said, if it makes you comfortable, then that's what you should wear. She goes, yeah, I really don't like the tights. They're not comfortable. She goes, I know dancers wear tights. And if I'm in a recital, I'll wear tights. But if we don't have to wear tights, I asked the teacher. She's like, no, wear pants. She wore pants. I said, what do you think about heels?
Yeah, you're having conversations the other way.
She goes, heels. I hate them. And I said, really? I said, for school days and stuff, I said, I thought you loved heels. She goes, oh, no, Dad, they hurt. She goes, I don't like heels at all. She goes,
her mind.
And I said, I thought you loved. She goes, well, no, I like wearing heels because I know I'm going to be doing something special and I get to dress up. She goes, but they're super uncomfortable. She goes, I like to look nice And I like to put heels on because I know it's going to make me pretty, and I know I'm always going to be wearing a really nice dress when I put those heels on.
Oh, from the mouth of babes.
I know, right? And she
Did
goes,
you tell her she can wear flats?
She goes, but I, she goes, well, I said, well, you know, you don't have to wear heels. She goes, well, I really do. She goes, because, I mean, you can't wear a dress without heels. And I was like, I said, sure you can. I said, we had a whole segment on our show about women, and it was all about women. It was, it wasn't guys like. It was all about women. It was 50-50 based on should we get back into stilettos or pumps or heels or whatever.
Do you really do show debriefings with your daughter?
No, I just brought it up. I thought it was interesting because she speaks like a 25-year-old.
Well, I told you.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like.
Yeah, but I told you.
So I just love to see where her mind goes. Sometimes I throw some things out there, and then she makes sense. And I'm kind of like, that's great. I said, you shouldn't. Because she loves her ballet shoes. She's got her ballet shoes.
Are they toe shoes?
Not toe shoes yet.
Okay.
But they're the soft little things, you know, they're like,
yeah,
like slippers.
Slippers. They're
slippers, but they're even smaller than slippers. So she was like, nah, she goes, I do not like to wear heels. And then of course my son said, yeah, I hate heels too. I don't like Sunday school or Sunday shoes. I said, you haven't worn damn Sunday shoes. He goes, for that wedding I had to wear these shoes I didn't like. And I said, yeah.
Yeah,
said,
get over it.
So that's the same thing. I said, the whole idea now is to wear
comfortable
wear shoes. Yeah. You remember the shoes we have to rent?
For
those
like
are the
tuxedos.
Worst. Oh my gosh.
Well, first of all, they were shining. They looked thin. B, they never.
So uncomfortable.
Yeah, they didn't fit. They didn't. Oh, you had a 14, but yeah, they.
Bowling shoes fit better than dress shoes.
Well, I love bowling shoes.
Bowling shoes are pretty comfortable.
They are.
Golf shoes used to be really super uncomfortable,
yes.
But now they've made them.
They're like trainers.
Yeah, you can wear them around. All right, talk about one of our great sponsors. We'll play some more classic rock. Yeah, we were on Fox 6 yesterday at 9:35. It was a great segment, by the way.
I didn't wear a tie then.
We, you know what we should do next Thursday?
Wear suits.
Let's wear suits and see what happens. Let's just see if they
we'll
call us
like
out.
We'll look like idiots.
Don't say, no, we won't. Let's just do it.
In this environment?
Yes.
Should we wear shorts?
No. Let's like wear it. Let's wear it. Listen, I'm willing to put a damn suit on. You can do it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to wear it because it's Thursdays. I can wear the same suit at 4
Let's
o'clock.
Wear a suit next Thursday for a Fox 6 hit and not say a word and see if they say something. And then, you know, oh, someone got dressed up. And yeah. I always say, I'm going to a funeral. And that makes them feel bad, even though I'm not going
to
a funeral.
No, we could just say, we're on Fox 6, WBRC.
Yeah.
Number one station in the market. That's why.
You know what? And I promise you, I could promise you, whoever's doing that interview, whether it's Toy or.
Right. They'll go, hey.
They're going to tell someone else. Did you see Curry and Claypool today? They're wearing suits and ties.
How nice
and
is
it'll
that?
Get up to Colin. It'll get up to the GM, and it'll hear about it, and it'll make us look better. We may get a show out of it. You'll get an email. Was it true you were wearing a suit during your Curry and Claypool thing? Yes, sir. We just want to show respect to the institution. We realize, and we want to fit the part, and we want to be part of the team. And next thing you know, the Curry and Claypool show will be airing every Thursday morning at 9:30 for a half an hour on Fox 6. I'm telling you.
Remind me. And
make your own breaks, Josh.
I will wear my suit with pants, which I don't do during my 4 o'clock. All right, let me tell you about Woodhouse Day Spa. You don't have to wear a suit to Woodhouse Day Spa. Hell, you can wear your skivvies. They are an amazing spa. Located up at the Summit, 905-7676. 5,000 square feet, luxury. Manicures, pedicures, facials, massages. This is the time to be buying people gifts. Give someone the gift of luxury. Go to their webpage today, birmingham.woodhousespas.com. Birmingham.woodhousespas.com. They're running holiday specials. You need to check them out. Woodhouse Day Spa.